down there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report and the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com. I write for The Sunday and all other titles in Greenspun Media Group and also Vegas Magazine. Joining me, fresh off a trip to the land of the Cleaves, Trish McCrone. Trish,
hello.
Good to have you back. What is happening with you?
Well, I'm back, and I saw a lot of fun people. And people that listen to our show, my friends in Cleveland, shout out to the friends in Cleveland that they download the show and listen to it. I was really surprised
was
how many people
guy,
said
Chris?
That they did. Chris Laporte. I saw him,
saw him
and he said to say hello.
Yeah, he listens to the show.
Yes, and my friend Kevin Norman, Owen Cleary, Jody Wilmot, Carolyn Timparnon, all of them, they all said that they're like, oh yeah, I listen to some of your shows. When I get a chance, I was like, wow, I'm impressed.
I am too. I was talking to, speaking of markets, we're big in Chico, California too, I found out this week, and I talked to the person who was my best friend growing up in Chico, California, and I had an hour-long conversation over the weekend, and he mentioned that he listens to the show also. Doug Dorman up there in Chico, there's a plug for you, Dougie.
Yeah, there you go, little shout-outs.
we're doing
your
a reunion.
Brother Bill.
And Bill Katsalamidis was
yes,
in town.
Yes, he was in town.
Although I don't know if Bill listens to the show. The novelty of me doing anything with my immediate family has worn off a long time ago.
Wow. Well, maybe now that
he
I
liked
hung
meeting
out with
you,
them,
that was,
so then maybe
yeah.
he'll listen now.
Of all the years that we've known each other, we had not met
Isn't
my
crazy?
Brother. I know, and I can see why that would happen, because when he gets in my presence, we just are in this insular world, and he hasn't made it down too much recently.
Because he has a baby, Austin.
Baby Austin, who is Little turning cute. One in July. So if you can be an uncle, do that. That's fun.
Adorable. So
yeah,
adorable. Oh, I know.
Kid.
I saw my little cousins. It was cute. My little young cousins. I was playing with them. It was fun. But it was really cool to be back home. And I also got to see, for those of you who know the Cleveland area, Michael Stanley, my former brother-in-law.
Right. And he's a big rock star.
Yeah, he's huge. Mm-hmm. It was
in that region.
Yeah. And so it was so funny. I went and dropped off some stuff at Goodwill in Cleveland, and they were listening to Michael. They're like, oh, we love Michael Stanley. We're listening on the radio. It was so funny. And then I even ran into a policeman. I went down to a bar downtown, and the policeman's like, I know you. And he was a caddy at the country club I grew up at.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that weird? Like, he just remembered it. So it was really cool to be home and see all of the people. And I'm a big, Cleveland person. And now that we have Johnny Manziel, everyone's very happy.
Johnny was in town this weekend.
I know. I heard
him. Partying it up.
I went to Cleveland. He came here. And then we got the number one NBA draft pick, which may be able to us make some trades. And
yeah.
Hopefully then when LeBron comes back after his contract's over, it'll all work out.
You never know in the NBA. You really never know in this world.
But it was a good Cleveland streak.
If we still have our bet going, I'm going to win it again this year because—
Dang it, you are.
LeBron
it's keeps
is
going.
En fuego. But the guy is, he's ferocious.
Still
what else is happening?
Until he goes back to Cleveland.
A couple of things have been going on. I went and saw Bruno Mars last weekend.
Oh my gosh.
We will next turn around. We'll go see him. Unbelievable performance. I went with Clint Holmes, who had never seen Bruno before, and had just a terrific time with Clint out in the town at the Cosmopolitan. And thanks for the people at the Cosmo for setting that up. It was bedlam in that place. And also coming up this weekend, something that you might be interested in, actually, Trish, as I asked you on the air, is Jerry Lewis is doing a set of shows at the South Point on tonight, Saturday, and Sunday.
I just talked
to him today, and I will have written, by the time you listen to this, a story for the Las Vegas Sun about Jerry and his world. And I interviewed him today, and it takes the starch out of me. Anytime I get in front of him, it wears me out. I don't mind admitting it. Burns me out. But he's performing still at age 88. And he has a film series and a photo series here at UNLV that is worth checking out at the Barrick Museum. So with that, I think we're ready to get to our guest.
Yeah, a guest who may hold the record for being on the show the most times.
I think you're right. I think we're six or seven deep with this gentleman and his lovely partner.
And he never disappoints.
Coming up is Zoe Bowie celebrating 8 years at Rock's Lounge is Chris Phillips, and 30 years in the business also is Chris Phillips. He'll be up shortly, but first it's Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will.
We live in a terrible place and time. The American West is a disgusting, awful, dirty, dangerous place. Look around you. Everything out here that's not you wants to kill you. Outlaws, angry drunk people, scorned hookers, hungry animals, diseases, major and minor injuries, Indians, the weather. You can get killed just going to the bathroom.
That's Seth MacFarlane as Albert Stark, a meek sheep farmer in 1882 Arizona in the comedy A Million Ways to Die in the West. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at movies now in theaters. MacFarlane's Albert falls in love with Charlize Theron as the wife of a notorious outlaw, played by Liam Neeson, and has to avoid the various perils of frontier life. Animated TV super producer MacFarlane has upped his cinematic ambitions following Ted, his first film as a director, but he's failed to improve his joke crafting, his narrative sense, or his acting. As a delivery system for MacFarlane's brand of lowbrow humor, Million Ways does its job, but as a movie, it's a complete mess. I give A Million Ways to Die in the West 2 stars out of 5. Two blockbusters now in theaters are better choices to see this week. Characters from throughout the X-Men superhero series unite in the time-spanning X-Men Days of Future Past, directed by Bryan Singer. Singer faces an uphill battle in bringing the disparate elements of the series together, but he mostly pulls it off, delivering both a satisfying capstone for the series so far and a solid starting point for future installments. And in Godzilla, Gareth Edwards' reimagining of the classic Japanese monster movie, the giant lizard takes second billing as a villain to a pair of more dangerous creatures. None of the human characters is compelling enough to compete with the giant monsters, but luckily, Edwards knows how to make those monsters fascinating. Both Godzilla and X-Men Days of Future Past are in theaters now. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Sitting in our studio now are a couple who can be best described as bronze, blonde, and bubbly. The male member of the SAC just celebrated 8 years of performing in Las Vegas. They can be found playing Rock's Lounge at Red Rock Resort. And also Thursdays at Fremont Street Experience in downtown Las Vegas.
It's always a party, ladies and gentlemen, with Zoe Bowie here with us today. Chris Phillips and Lydia Ansel of That Act.
Gosh, I thought I was sitting here with Robin and his latest wife swap victim.
Oh!
Trish, oh no.
What do you mean you don't drink? Isn't that what was
what
said?
Do you mean, victim?
Isn't that what he said in the episode?
What was the, in wife swap, isn't it a requirement to have a wife?
I guess not.
Well,
it was
know,
Joan Severance.
No, but that's like a Vegas version of a wife.
It was Joan
you know,
Severance.
I totally get it. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
Yes, I remember Joan Severance. But I also think it's 8 years that the whiskey sales in Las Vegas have also gone way up since Zoe Bowie started.
Zoe Bowie moves the alcohol,
yes.
Boy. Yes, you do. 8
Mostly
years
himself.
Ago. Yeah, right?
That's
eight
true.
8 years. Now, I've always said this, or I've often said this.
And I like
and
how.
It's always true.
And do I not always bring it up before you in social situations so you can feel
ahead,
relevant
can
to the
you
conversation?
Can say it before I say it. Before you performed in Las Vegas,
yes. You were and brought back the
apple
Maverick spirit.
Apple cheeked. Apple cheeked. Bobby Darin wannabe out of Scottsdale, Arizona.
That's right. Bobby Darin wannabe.
Bobby Darin right. Wannabe.
Gosh, you got it.
I wrote a story about you.
Yes, you did.
I interviewed you on the phone.
You were the very first one.
You were at an airport, I think, or at a bar, an airport bar.
And, that sounds right. Good
yeah,
times.
We had heard all about this act called Zoe Boy that was going to be sharing the bill with Brian Evans, the crooner.
And no the, way, and Brian the, Evans?
Brian Evans was
God,
one of
that's
them.
Right.
And the
all-you-can-eat
rib special at Salt Lake Barbecue. Those are the three names on the marquee at the time.
Yes,
you survived. The other two did not.
That's true.
Salt Lake's no longer there?
No,
we out,
isn't.
I think it's we outlasted, I think now 4 restaurants there that are now gone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
5 restaurants, maybe.
It's
so does that say
yard
something?
House, but it's one right next to the
yeah, there's a barbecue
there's a
place.
There's a now.
That's what it is. Lucille's, I think, is in that spot now.
Hachi is now gone.
Hachi's out.
Cabo,
or as I call it, Nachi.
Something. so yeah, we've been there 8 years, and things are better than ever. Thank God.
I know.
Go figure.
No kidding. I mean, this is the truth. I talked to Judy Alberti for this story I wrote recently about lounges in Las Vegas, and I asked her about you guys because you rule Rock's Lounge. She said nobody moves the meter in every way we need it like Zoe Bowie does.
Mm. Particularly decibel reading.
It's everything about the act works. It's exactly to their liking.
Well, that's
you bring revenue in, you fill the place, it's high energy, they love what you do, all of it, yeah.
Well,
so that is an achievement if you've done nothing else in Las Vegas. That's hard to achieve.
You know, I think, as you guys know, having any kind of relationship for 8 years is like 80 years in this town.
Exactly.
Be it personal or professional.
Yeah.
However, never made the personal one quite that long, but
you have with your band. How long has your keyboard player been with you?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the reasons that we have lasted as long as we have, because, you know, we, as you may know, we're celebrating our 8-year anniversary in Las Vegas and performing at Red Rock, but I'm personally celebrating my 30-year anniversary of doing this.
Wow.
Wow. And the band that I have, some of the guys have been in the band now for upwards to 18 to 20 years.
Your keyboardist. Wow.
Keyboard player in particular. He's been with me the longest, almost 20 years.
Yes.
I was about to make an inappropriate joke, and I stopped myself. I just have to announce that.
That's not DB style.
Yes. What I was going to say was, no, I'm kidding. I won't say. No, but I met you around when you first moved here.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I remember where I met you.
Yeah, we were friends, like right when you guys were starting. And I loved you guys then and love you now. Amazing.
Well, thank you.
You guys, what you do in terms of just always being so current and always updating everything. And, you know, it really is a party. And what's so neat is that there isn't a cover. There isn't and everybody can just go in. And I tell you, but you do have to get there early because you guys fill up the place.
Well, it's great.
Like,
apparently,
to its rafters, basically.
You know, I think I've said this a million times, but I can't say it enough. But I think the secret to longevity in terms of what we do is that we throw – not a concert where it's about us or the people on stage, but it's about the people who come to see us. Zoe Bowie's about the audience. And so we revel in whatever energy they are dishing up that particular evening, be it birthday parties or if the fact that there's bachelorette parties or if it's just people trying to forget the problems of the week. We feed off of that universal demographic that comes in there with a million different stories at once, and there's energy there.
Yeah.
And we supply a musical soundtrack to that. And then when you add what I bring to the table, which is alcoholism and desperation.
And lots of girls.
It creates a certain type
lots
of
lots of girls and not energy. A lot of costuming.
There you go. Yeah, there isn't a lot of costuming.
Now, Chris, when you first got here, Zoe Bowie, people referred to you individually as Zoe Bowie as if it were your name.
Which it is.
And you know, it's become...
I've been Zoe Bowie for, you know, 20 years through many different female companions and... singing partners. So a lot of people always thought it was Zoe and Bowie.
Right.
When we moved here, because, you know, we were marketed as the two of us.
Yeah, it was the two of you. It was you and Marley. But there was great marketing campaign.
Right,
by the way.
And
it
we loved
incredible.
It. And we were very appreciative of Station Casinos in particular for putting so much effort into marketing us. And when we first drove in and saw all the billboards and the covers of magazines, we thought, oh, wow, is this the way it works for everybody that comes to town? We learned shortly thereafter that was not the case.
You realize, because those people who it doesn't pertain to will come up and tell you how much they are impressed by your billboards.
What
did
you do?
How did you get a billboard at the airport?
No, I mean, speaking of that, I mean, you were so, in the beginning, you were so iconic of you and Marley. I mean, it was, you know, the blonde hair and the... well, endowments and Marley was pretty too.
It was all boobs. Oh, it's all boobs and bluster,
you know,
Trish.
You know,
tell
them
like it
being
is.
Nice, you know, so, but I'm just saying, that when Marley
triple the boobs.
When Marley left, were you ever worried that you know, because you guys were, even though you were, it was Zoe Bowie and Marley Taylor. Most people did think it was the two of you were Zoe Bowie. When all of a sudden it was just you, were you ever worried? Like, I may be in trouble here.
Sure, of course. I think that every day when I wake up, can I keep this train rolling for a myriad of reasons? But she's been gone for 2 years now.
It was November 12th that she was formally left.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I think what I had in terms of confidence going into that transition was the fact that I had been doing it for many years prior to meeting Marley.
Yeah.
So I had been Zoe Bowie for, you know, gosh, a good 8 years leading into my relationship with her. And then when I met her, you know, obviously it was a considerable step up when we then were able to come to Las Vegas and create something that we were very proud of. But then when she left, it actually benefited us in terms of the fact that she was over Vegas. She never really even wanted to come here in the first place. I kind of drug her here out of my passion of wanting to be this Vegas guy. And she reluctantly came and did her thing and did it well, but she got tired of it. Bless her heart, she mm-hmm. decided it's time for her to go home, and she went back to Scottsdale, Arizona. And it's at that point where I had met, obviously, my beautiful, loving girlfriend and bandmate, Lydia, who changed my life for a million reasons for the better. But then I also incorporated a few other gal singers, which brought this new, young, hip energy to the show, which kind of kick-started my enthusiasm mm-hmm. for the project. And since then, we've won Best of Las Vegas twice. We're doing better than ever. We're getting more opportunity than ever. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it had this kind of resurgence of this spunk of energy.
Yeah.
Kind of like I had when I was starting out a garage band 30
about,
years ago.
About Zoe Boy that's always been consistent is it's a sexy show. It has always been that, yourself yeah, notwithstanding.
I think
oh.
But
in lieu of having any talent, I've got to put.
No, I know it is. It is a, no, it's a beautiful. No, it's a beautiful show to look at. I mean, yeah, it's a very sure. yeah. And that doesn't.
And Lydia's costumes won't the, fit on my wrists. Like that's the
thing. This is not. This is not to discount anything else, but its reputation is it's a beautiful thing to look at. And when you lose can, Marley,
well,
who's
I'll tell you why. I think
you had to do something.
If I think I speak for a lot of people that go out. Particularly on the weekend, just to want to have some fun and maybe get lucky and just such. People tend to hear with their eyes. You know, because there's a lot of tremendous talent in this town, undoubtedly.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. In every corner of this city, you can go into and just hear a lounge singer or a musician on the street and just be completely blown away. But I think, you know, we live in an era and in particularly in a town that people like to be visually stimulated.
Exactly. That's exactly
hence
my point.
Cirque du Soleil mm-hmm. and many other things that it's all, you know, the visual of it is so important. But with what we do, because it's not a show, it's a concert. It's simply a concert of us playing current music that makes people happy. It needs to be visually appealing. And so we change it up constantly from song to song. You know, I'm constantly having different girls come out. Lydia's highlighted, and then I come out and do a song, and then two girls come out at once, and all of us are out there. And it's our simple, you know, small potatoes way of trying to please the ADD senses that most people have these days.
Right. You know? Let's name the other singers in the act. That's Nieve Malandra.
There's Nieve Malandra and Christine Amato, who are two names and two people. At the time when I was auditioning people, I had gone through about 15 to 20 gals.
Yeah, I remember it was kind of like a revolving door. Like all of a sudden, one day I think you, at one point you had Lorena Perlin, you had.
Oh, yeah, we had some
what top, was her name
top
from
Savannah
a fantasy?
Smith.
Jamie Lynch.
Smith was in there.
Jamie Lynch
was in there.
What
some
was
people
the
that are
going
with you?
We never had the pleasure of having her, but you had Felice Garcia from mm-hmm. Million Dollar Quartet.
Yeah.
You name it, we had them up there.
Who was the girl from Fantasy with the red hair, the Playboy
girl?
Oh,
Cena.
Oh, no, yeah, I know you're talking about.
Not,
oh God, what was her name? She was a celebrity.
Oh yes, God, a huge celebrity, and now I can't think of her name. Okay, well, we'll think of it anyway.
Angelica
Bridges. Yes. Oh, very good lady.
Wow.
See, she's not
very
beautiful. She's and talented. She's smart.
And what
she's
a
smart.
Lovely young lady she
so, yes,
was.
So yes, I mean, you had a lot of names, is what I'm saying. You
and
know,
so,
you had a lot of names come in and do one night here, one night there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the reason I think that Zoe Boy has worked so long is that we have figured out a long time ago that we're not a business, we're a family. And so what I was looking for is a couple people that would best get along, not only just on stage with their talents and what they bring to the show, but more importantly, can they sit in a van with three or four smelly dudes going 5 hours to Phoenix to do a corporate gig and back and feel like they fit in part of the family?
Yeah.
And you know, because
you Chris, know, you're not smelly.
We're in another car. Don't worry.
We're in the first wordplay. We're in car one.
Yes. It really boiled down to the fact that I wanted to bring in a couple gals that had no the audience had no preconceived notion of who they were or expectations, and I wanted to start from scratch with a couple gals that really hadn't had much experience. Particularly here in Las Vegas, singing in public or with bands. And one gal, you know, Christina, she's really, this was her first band. She,
mm-hmm.
When she started the band, she was 19 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just celebrated her 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Over there,
are you kidding?
And so
me?
Now she's blossomed into this dynamite performer who has her own show going on mm-hmm. now, as they both do. And they're both, and they, but that way I was able to kind of create the Zoe Bowie way of doing things with them and off stage and on stage, because, you know, we come as a unit. It's not about me up there, I can assure you. As you guys know, it's about all of us. And we have some tremendous talent in the band, and it's really an equal contribution. And I wanted everybody to know that nobody's better than anybody else. Yeah. And that's
so Zoe Bowie, in that context, is an entirety of the act.
Absolutely.
And you know, that has to be, that has to remain the case.
Absolutely.
You can't really remain.
Nobody wants to just see my middle.
But you couldn't put this under any other brand at this point, because Zoe Bowie is such a strong, no matter what you do, it's going to be Zoe Bowie.
Yeah. And you know, and what's so silly is I've been using that darn name for 20 years now. It has absolutely nothing to do with the show or David Bowie or
it's
early 80s novelty.
For people who don't know, Zoe Bowie is the name of David Bowie's son. And you have had contact with
both the mother and himself.
What? Tell us the son's story.
I never knew this.
Yeah, this is recent stuff. When did?
Well, there was a period of time where we were performing at the Palms Hotel for about 6 months while we were waiting for them to build a room for us over at the Monte Carlo. And while we were there, we were on the marquee out front and on posters all over the hotel. And incidentally, they were also having a film festival there on the one particular week in which
Cinevegas.
We were there.
Cinevegas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the movie submissions was directed by a fellow by the name of Duncan Jones. Well, Duncan Jones used to be Zoe Bowie before he changed his
name. Oh, my gosh.
So he's a big-time film director now. And he came into the hotel and saw his other name all over
his
place.
His birth name?
His birth name. And thought, who the hell is this punk?
This can only happen to you.
I know. And so he emailed me and he goes, you know, I'm walking around the hotel and I see Zoe Bowie all over the place. What is this? Who are you? Are you pretending to be me or David Bowie's kid? And I just like, you know, actually it's
how did you get out of it?
You know, if you can imagine this, Duncan. I'm a middle-aged white guy who sings hardcore rap. And that's essentially it. But no, he and his mother, Angela Bowie, who actually had lived in Scottsdale.
Angie.
Yeah, that's what she wrote about. She contacted me. Well, and they both kind of had the same opinion. They said, as long as the show's decent, then go for it.
That's hilarious. So hilarious.
Does anybody think you are Zoe Bowie?
Oh, every day of my life.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I love
and
it.
I just, you know, it's been a wonderful thing in terms of people remembering the name and being kind of a fun brand. But by the same token, it's limited me tremendously and kept a lot of people coming to the show over the years thinking it was some kind of Bowie tribute show of some sort.
Yeah, when I first heard about it,
of course,
I was
wondering
if it was
some
80s,
you know,
70s, 80s.
So now what?
You know, I'm thinking of
well, we had a suggestion the other day for Zooby Booby. I don't know.
That would be appropriate.
That's good. That would work.
Now, Lydia, when you first saw this act, you came into town a couple years ago yourself, right?
Two years ago.
Yeah.
And that's it? That's all you've been here? Mm-hmm. Why does it feel like we've known you forever?
Because you met me right away with Chris.
It was like right now, when you got here. Mm-hmm.
I met Chris 2 months within moving here, and then from the night I met him, we dated every day since, so.
Now, you couldn't have recruited somebody that would be a better fit for what you're trying to do than Lydia.
Aww.
I mean,
personally,
artistically, you got lucky, really lucky, to get a violinist who
checks in the mail.
And the first day that we met, she just brought her violin down to the show, popped up on stage, and said, I'm going to show you
what
I'm
doing. Well, he invited me.
I was just going to say, like, how did this work out? That, I mean, did you start dating, and then you were like, oh, bonus, she's really talented.
Well, the night we met, we were at Gordy Brown's birthday party, and I was there with a date.
Which is a sober evening.
Which I didn't know. And it was a lot of fun. I was jamming in the lounge at Rush Lounge because I was brand new and didn't have a lot of gigs and was just kind of just wanted to play. And I met Gordy's band, who invited me to come up to Gordy's birthday party. Chris walks right up to me. He's like, hi, I'm Chris. And he looks so incredibly familiar to me. And I realized that I had seen him perform in Arizona right before he left because we're both from Scottsdale.
Gotcha.
So he got all excited and heard that I played violin. He's like, well, why don't you come down? I'm playing tonight at Red Rock. It was a Friday. And I didn't realize he was kidding, so I showed up.
Because, you know, nothing says hip-hop like a violin.
Exactly.
But she came up, and it was a perfect fit. And, and she's been in the show every night since, and we've been dating every night since.
So it all just happened on the same day, dating, performing.
Yeah. So you give Gordy a thank you note.
Oh, every day on his birthday.
There you go. You'll never forget your anniversary. There you go.
But what did you think of Chris's act itself when you first saw it? Did you think that was something you could
you could be in?
Well, honestly,
I mean, as a permanent band member.
When I first came in, Marley was still in the band, and he had invited me just to basically sit in, and I was just kind of trying to figure out Vegas and where I fit in, and, you know, I was jamming with a couple different places and bands, and so when he invited me to jam in, I was like, well, why not? I didn't even think that it wouldn't fit. I was just like, well, this sounds fun. Why not?
And our personalities meshed so well at the time, it made sense that her performing abilities would mesh as equally, and it did.
But it was a good, I'm thinking maybe like almost maybe 6 months before I joined the band full time. I was just, every now and then I'd come in.
The key was getting rid of Marley. So,
when you first jumped on stage, she was in the show.
So you're like, which band member is going to be
good? So you were on stage with Marley?
Oh, yeah.
Did she try to get you off stage? Did she give you the elbow move?
Like, she was totally cool to me. You know, honestly,
she was too busy making out with the bass player in the back.
I was just about to say. You're like, please, go with the band member.
Marley was married at the time to the bass player, so there was no kind of.
He was plugging in. I mean, it all worked out.
I think she was a little bit ready to go for a while.
It's amazing we survived that and were able to really move forward from that period.
Yeah, we didn't miss a beat.
I know, it's like she was gone one day.
Often when Sonny and Cher break up, it's, you know, it can be.
It was long overdue because, you know, the energy of the band wasn't what it had been at one point.
Yeah, well, she had kind of like faded in and out a little bit too, hadn't she, Marley, over the years?
Sure, and she's still doing very well now out in Arizona with her bass player husband. But she was sick of Vegas, and I love Vegas. I love everything that is Vegas,
and
I had no intention of going
home. Maverick spirit of Las Vegas.
Maverick
spirit. It's like you've met before.
Somebody said that before? I've never heard that.
We got to make sure we get this in before we wrap up. Lydia, you're also with Rod Stewart as part of the Magnificent Seven, the violinists, and they're incredible, great stage. So if you guys go see Rod Stewart, you will see Las Vegas violinists all across that stage.
There's some pretty hot ladies up there.
They are.
They're
all
great.
The blondes. Rod likes all the blondes. He told me that on a
during interview. Do you have to be all blonde to be in the band?
No, you don't. Oh, but they seem to catch his attention.
One of the blondes. One of the blondes. I don't know their names. One of the blondes.
And Chris, also, are you going to start doing your standard show again?
Yes, I am. And if I may mention just very quickly, besides doing our Thursdays out on Fremont every
which
week.
Which is from a party. I can tell you verifiably.
Oh, yes. Trouble can ensue.
Oh, my God. It's great, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest people watching in
Friday nights,
world
of course, we're going on our ninth year there, but we're excited about the fact that a couple weeks from now, we're going to be doing Zoe Bowie's Saturdays at Blue Martini at Town Square.
Yay! I love that! That's like
that big
the
stage.
Street.
It's right
so here's the
behind the bar.
And
right?
We're going to be performing from 11 to 2, which is the first time they've ever had a band in that DJ slot in the history of the place.
Oh, that's awesome. Blue Martini's great. That's congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then to answer your question, yes, we're working on something right now to bring the late night Las Vegas, vintage Vegas party back to the strip in a showroom with celebrity guests and all the. The shenanigans.
We have to title it the Maverick Spirit.
Exactly.
Zoe Bowie.
You love that.
I love it.
Maverick Spirit.
I thought you were always making fun of me for saying
that. No, we love it.
Because everywhere I go, I preach the Maverick Spirit of Las Vegas.
I think you believe it, and you make me
believe
it. I
love it. No, I love it when you say it. I do think that would be a great show.
Do it yourself. That's the bottom line. Do it yourself.
Well, that's righteous. Another thing.
Bring a couple ladies with you.
And a couple ladies. The less attire, the better. We got to wrap it up, folks. Zoe Bowie, eighth year. At Red Rock, Rock's Lounge, you catch him at Blue Martini, and 30 years in the business, class of 1984.
Wow.
My which I share with my host.
Righteous. We are in the same age bracket. Thanks for coming down, guys.
Decades later.
Viva! Viva! Las Vegas!